Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, in the world's Christianity, there are holidays that they celebrate. Halloween, Christmas, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Lent, and other feasts that they have. Where are those mentioned in the Bible? Well, they are, you know, they really are. But not as something we should do. Oh, but Christmas is so much fun. Remember, Satan likes to deceive by having fun. And isn't that how our children are introduced to evil through cartoons and fun? Na, 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 na. Yes, indeed. Because Satan always comes along and he has a benefit. Na, 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 na. He doesn't tell you that the wages of sin is death, and if you do this, you're sinning. He says, no, think about it. This is good. This is right. It's like he told Eve. Look at that fruit. Now, how could you resist that? Now, you know, if you eat it, you'll be made wise. And furthermore, you'll have a great benefit. You'll be just like God. So, people say of Christmas, you know, well, this is for Christ. We're recognizing his birthday. But he wasn't born anywhere near that time. And even all the churches know it. How did those things, which God says are abominations, come into the church? Well, let me read you a quote, and then we'll read some scripture, and then we'll read another quote, and you decide. Louis Lavier Moreau, he's the one who wrote the catechism book, My Catholic Faith. So he proudly boasts that the Roman Catholic Church, in order to increase the numbers in the church, remember, numbers is not righteousness, but they wanted power. So if you have power, you want numbers. So here's what he said, quote, in the history of the church, we find that she often christened pagan festivals, making use of dates and ceremonies and endowing them with an entirely new Christian significance. What do you know about that? Does God say to do that? Where is repent and be baptized? And stop your sinning and obey God. It's not there. Obey the church. What if they have traditions or whatever other religion? You can apply this to every other religion in the world, see? Now, Erica Young, in her book Witches, writes this. Christian holidays were deliberately set at the times that had been sacred. Since the earliest pagan days, the Christians knew the power paganism had over the people and usually renamed rather than reinvented holidays. That's how they came into the church. Now, let's read something here, very interesting. Let's come to Deuteronomy 12. Roman Catholic Church Christianized the world, forced conversions, went into many nations, correct? Even the Pope had the audacity to divide the world, this part of the world for the church, this part of the world for Spain, this part of the world for Portugal. Really? Was the Pope God on earth? Well, he claims to be. Ought to read you some quotes about what the popes really, really think of themselves. and it'll make your hair stand up on the back of your neck. But let's read this. God said to the Israelites when they were going into the promised land to conquer the nations there, "When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you where you go to possess them, and you take their place and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves that you do not become ensnared by following them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not ask about their God, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise to my God?'" What did they do? How did it happen? Notice the command of God. Now, if the Catholic Church were the true church, which it's not, meaning that they, though regardless of what they profess, by Bible definition, are not true Christians. They may have some good works and deeds, which are Christian, but to be converted and have the Holy Spirit of God, you've got to repent, be baptized, and love God and remain faithful. Let's read on. Notice what God says. Because what they say here, and their bragging and their boasting, is in direct defiance against God. God says, verse 31, "You shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. Whatsoever thing that I command you, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it or take away from it." What does that say to the church who says, "We are the ones who compiled the Bible in a recent ad to Catholics, come home to the Catholic Church"? Have they repented of all of their sins? No. Have the priests repented of all their pedophilia? No. Has the Pope gotten rid of all of the idols at St. Peter's Basilica and ordered them extirpated and destroyed from every Catholic church, and to quit keeping Sunday, and to keep the Sabbath, and to quit keeping the holidays, and keep the holy days of God, and everyone take a week of sackcloth and fasting and prayer and return to God? No. Now, they may represent a God, and the Bible identifies that as the God of this world. God said, don't do it. But what did the children of Israel do? They did exactly what God said not to do. Now I'm going to read you another quote, and this is by Sir James George Frazer, who wrote Golden Bough. Now, if you want a thorough book on the paganism of Christianity, read his 13-volume set that he wrote, or get the condensed version, because there are some fantastic things to read about there. And if not, then we have right on the website here at Church at Home, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. That'll tell you, read that. It's documented in history. Today, no one on earth has an excuse. If they have a Bible in their homes and they don't read it and they don't love God and don't keep his commandments, they have no excuse before God. Now, here's what Sir James George Frazer wrote concerning adopting heathen practices and changing the names. "Taken altogether, the coincidence of the Christian, or that is Catholic, feasts with the heathen festivals are too close and too numerous to be accidental." No, we found out they were predetermined to do that. "They mark the compromise which the church, in the hour of its triumph, was compelled to make with its vanquished yet still dangerous rivals. The inflexible Protestantism, that is, they had the spirit of should have been, scriptures only, of the primitive missionaries with their fiery denunciation of heathendom, had been exchanged for the supple policy, the easy tolerance, and the comprehensive charity of shrewd ecclesiastics, who clearly perceive that if Christianity, that is, i.e., Catholicism, was to conquer the world, it could only do so by relaxing the two rigid principles of its founder, by widening a little the narrow gate which leads to salvation. Amazing words, they're not true. Now let's look at what God says here in Amos, the fifth chapter. How does God accept these days? They come to him, and what do? They say, God, we're going to take these filthy abominations and put your holy name on them because we want these pagan people under our control. See, rather than teaching them to repent and forsake these things, no, here's what God says to Israel in keeping the days of Baal, I despise your feast days. I will take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard the peace offerings of your fat animals. Take the noise of your songs away from me, for I will not hear the melody of your harps. That's what God thinks of it. He hates them. He despises them. The world loves them. Oh, they're so much fun and they're so good. And after all, we do it for the children. But of course, so they can be subverted at an early age. Yes, indeed. Let's come over here to Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Let's see what God says about Easter sunrise services. But I want you to understand, that which is called Christian today has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the true Savior. They appropriate his name. They observe all the satanic heathen festivals and tell everyone they're delivered to do it. So God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, I want to show you something. Come over to this gate and look up here. Now, verse 5. Son of man, lift up your eyes on the way of the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the way of the north, and behold, northward at the gate is the altar of the image of jealousy was at the entrance. What is that? The statue of Nimrod. The statue now known as Baal. Nimrod, who was against God and in place of God and instead of God to lead the people after the flood into all the paganism and religion that they had given by Satan, the devil, to them before the flood. He says, because the children of Israel make me go far away from my sanctuary. So he said, turn again. And that is the house where he said he would put his name. So he looked and he saw a wall, and he said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall now. And I dug in the wall, and behold, an opening. And he said to me, go in and see the evil abominations that they do here. And I went in and saw, and behold, every kind of creeping thing and hateful beast and all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. Look at our government building. Look at our churches. Verse 11, and 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel and Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing in front of them. These were before them, and each man with his censer in his hand, and sweet-smelling cloud of incense was rising up. A secret place, a secret society, like the Knights of Columbus, like the Masons, like all of the secret societies of men, these are the ones who are in control. Then he said, Son of man, see what they do in these dark rooms? Those are against God. And they say, the Lord does not see us, for the Lord has forsaken the earth. Then he said again, turn again, and I want to show you greater abominations than this. And he brought me to the opening of the gate of the Lord's house toward the north, and behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was the fake savior, the one out of Babylon, the fake savior that came back to life on Ishtar Sunday. And Ishtar was his mother, the female pagan goddess of Babylon that today the Christian world says that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead is a lying, filthy abomination. Do you understand that? Now, some people don't like to hear words like this. What did they do on Good Friday? You watch it on television. The women are weeping, woo, until midnight. And then they burst out in joy because their pagan savior has come back to life. That has nothing to do with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a counterfeit. Need to understand that. That's not of God. But they'll show it on television. They'll show it right there. And you watch the ceremony at St. Peter's Basilica, and you will be appalled at the gross paganism that is there. Come right to the temple of God, and I'm going to show you greater abominations than these, Ezekiel, so you will know why I am destroying Judah. Why I've sent the Jews off in captivity to Babylon, because they've turned their back on me. They have desecrated my name. They have desecrated my temple. They are following the gods of this world. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the opening of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. You go out on a Sunday morning and you watch the sunrise mass by the Catholics, where they raise the host right as the sun is coming up over the horizon, and all the people bow down. That's exactly what they were doing right at the temple of God. Subverted. Men crept in unawares and take over and become the political elite and become the established leaders. And then tell the people, why, this is okay. It's done here at the house of God. Now let's come to Jeremiah 7. Let's see what God says about people who say, we're the people of God. We're the people of God. Just like we do in America and Britain and Northwestern Europe and Australia and New Zealand. Have we forsaken God? Yes, we were the people of God. But now we are captivated by Satan the devil. Notice what Jeremiah was to do. You see, anyone who will really speak the truth of God had better be prepared to stand alone, because there are going to be very few people who like him. Because people can't stand the truth. Can you? Can you really, 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 really stand the truth? Well, here's what Jeremiah was told to say. He said, stand at the gate of the Lord's house. Right there so everybody can see where they're all coming in and out. And proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. If there's repentance, God will honor it. If there is not, and the warning has been given, judgment is coming. That's the way God operates. Verse 4, do not trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. In other words, hey, if we do these things at the temple of the Lord, and God placed his name here, and God has allowed it to happen, surely God must approve of it. Just like they did when they took the pagan feast and said, oh, well, we'll call this a Christian feast. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. No, it's not lovely, lovely, lovely. And because God does not come down in a whirlwind of wrath and a pillar of fire and destroy them, people think it's all right. Well, here, they were at the temple. God gave them the choice. He gave them the warning. Notice what God says. God wants mercy. God wants repentance. God wants forgiveness. But what did they choose? Notice. Verse 5, for if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. He gave them a chance. Now, we're right at a point today where there is a strong movement to do away with abortion, because that's the killing of innocent children and innocent blood on a horrendous scale that is absolutely abominable before God, and there is going to be no change. There will be no prosperity. There will be no relief from all the things that are coming upon this land until they stop killing God's creation in the womb. Now notice what God says if you continue in those things. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Because, see, you're following the pagan gods. You're not following the true God. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery? Look at our land today. Look at the world today. Because we have failed to preach the word of God to the world in the way that it should have been, this whole world is going to come against us in God's judgment with a fury that is going to be completely unexpected. But it's coming. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. That is, we have grace to do it. Now, you go back to the series we did in those segments on the coming one world religion. And that's going to tell you where the Christian churches of this world are going to end up. And everyone is going to have to choose between God and his way or Satan and his way. Now, notice, has this house or this nation, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Then he says, I want you to learn a lesson. Okay? I want you to go to Shiloh, where I first placed my name, and see what I did to that place, because the people did not love me and keep my commandments. Now, what do you think God is going to do to us and to the world because they won't repent? This is what it's all about. The occult holidays of this world and worshiping on the wrong day is at the heart and core of our great sin. Now, you need the book. Send it to you free of charge. Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days, Which? You need the book. Lord, what should I do? And you need to read those and ask yourself the question, what am I going to do before God? Now, I realize that these messages have been strong. And I realize that these things are all so desperately needed. So the question becomes, will we listen to the words of God and the voice of God intervening in our conscience? Will we follow the truth and serve the Lord Creator? Or will we follow the way of men and serve Satan the devil? That's the choice. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And so until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.